This is a podcast from thebuglepodcast.com.
The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers, and welcome to another Bugle sub-episode, sub-episode 249 beta. I'm Andy Zaltzman, back in London. I've returned from India, which is going to be an absolutely sensational place if ever they get round to finishing it, and if, as a nation, it stops stealing all its money off itself. Also back from a couple of days in Dubai on the way back home, the world's biggest theme park. If the themes are building unnecessary buildings in unnecessary places, slavery and prostitution. So instead of a real Bugle, here are some more excerpts from my Satirist for Hire show at the Soho Theatre back in September, when the world seemed a more innocent place.
So who else? Who else? Before I go on to the ones that you did email in, who else meant to send something in but didn't? Yeah, madam?
Fantasy Sport.
Fantasy Sport? What, as in like fantasy fantasy football, or just like some kind of cricket with unicorns or something? So, yeah, cricket with unicorns. Maybe, where are you from?
I'm American.
You're American, so maybe the unicorns is what's been lacking in cricket for you. Are you a cricket fan?
I am.
You are? Good for you. Who here's a cricket fan?
Yes.
Okay, the rest of you, what the f*** are you doing with your lives? You f***ing losers. How can you? Who does not like cricket? You. Why not? Well, where are you from?
London.
London. And you don't like that? It's, you shouldn't be allowed to f***ing vote. So, do you like reading? Do you like novels?
I like novels.
You do like novels? Well, cricket. See, cricket is like a really good novel. A test match is like a really good novel, but better. Because with cricket, with a test match, you can't flip to the end and find out what happened. So with a novel, you can flip to the end and find out, for example, whether or not Elizabeth Bennet and Mr. Darcy finally flipped and gunned down the rest of the Bennet family in a hail of bullets before escaping on a motorbike to Mexico. I think my version might have been graffiti by someone. And also you can flip to the end and find out whether or not the Lion and the Witch ever got it on in the wardrobe. But you can't do that with a cricket match. And it's a great part of British culture, and it's also kind of a... like a moral touchstone for Britain. We like to think of cricket as a kind of moral sport. It's not always been that way. We've had match fixing. And recently, just after England won the Ashes, we had the players got in trouble. They were celebrating on the pitch of the Oval after everyone had gone home. And they got in trouble because they watered the pitch, which would have been fine, apart from the fact that they watered it with their penises by urinating on the pitch. And some people say this was awful. But to me, this was in the great tradition of English cricket. In fact, you go back to 1896, W.G. Grace, one of the most iconic figures in the history of cricket. The Lord's Test match of 1896, as reported by the Wisdom Book of Test Cricket, so this is a cast-iron fact. He took it one step further even than urinating on the pitch. The match was noteworthy for an incident in which Dr. Grace, during the luncheon interval, marched out to the middle of the ground with a cryptic crossword under one arm and a chamber pot in the other, before making himself extremely comfortable and saying, "I'm W.G. f***ing Grace. I will go where the f*** and when the f*** I choose. Now someone lend me a pencil, I think three across is an anagram." Bit of history for you. So, so fantasy sports, are you in favour or not?
My boyfriend's been trying to get me into them.
Really? That is a relationship that needs work. So, because I mean, we all have our distractions. I love sport. We all have our distractions. I get really upset when sport is sullied by the kind of same kind of cheating and dishonesty you see in politics and business. And I don't like that. With Lance Armstrong, for example, that's one of the most important. That's probably the worst thing that's happened to the world this millennium. Lance Armstrong is absolutely terrible, and because you know, he's sullied sport. Sport's supposed to distract us from the harsh realities of reality, and it's awful what he did. The latest evidence coming out, one of his teammates recently claimed that he rode the 2003 Tour de France on a Kawasaki 350. And what makes that so bad is that the cycling authorities were onto him. They knew it was happening, and they confronted him and said, "Look, Lance, your bike was making some really weird noises today." And he said, "Well, it was a mountain stage. I was trying to ward off bears." And And they've also retested his blood samples, and he's recently tested positive for having the DNA of an eagle. Because they were pumping them all full of eagle DNA, trying to make them develop beaks to make them more aerodynamic on the way down mountains. And because if you see Armstrong, you saw him on Oprah, didn't you? You saw him get into it. He's got quite a beaky nose, hasn't he? Like a pure beak. But if you see pictures of him from early in his career, perfectly normal human nose. Amazing what people are prepared to do for themselves to win in sport. But that again was almost blown out of the water when his teammate George Hincapie, 2004, just outside Carcassonne, pulled over to the side of the road and laid an egg. But we all have our different distractions. So I think we should probably press on with the emails that you have sent in. Thanks very much to those of you who did. I say a record haul. I think the idea of the show is to give you, the people, an opportunity to really raise the issues that you think are maybe not dealt with in the media or in comedy, really important issues that get to the heart of what it means to be alive in the 21st century. So we'll start with this email here from Kirill Malkin. Is Kirill here?
Yes.
Hello, Kirill. Really important issue, this. The issue I'd like you to satirise is krill. It's about time someone took those microscopic f***ers down a peg or two. Apart from being somewhere near the bottom of the food chain and being a keystone to the Antarctica ecosystem, thank you Wikipedia, writes Kirill, do they serve any more than just a way for my colleagues to f*** me off? So is this because of your name being a bit like...
It's one letter away.
It's one letter away, and this... I mean, what is your job?
I'm a planner.
What do you plan? I mean, that is so vague. I mean, that... that could be anything from organising children's birthday parties to the Twin Towers. I mean, that's really... You're going to have to narrow it down. I mean, that's... Neither of which is an acceptable way to earn a living. Let me say that. What do you plan?
Town.
A town planner. Yes. And that's basically involved maximising traffic jams, is it? What towns have you planned for? I'll tell you where you want to be. What, Syria. There's going to be a lot of rebuilding needing doing there. Okay, so, I mean, krill. I mean, I don't know how to know if krill winds you up. Are you fans of the natural world?
Yes.
Yeah, David Attenborough?
Yes.
Biggest in the country for me. I can't believe it. He's an appalling man. There's insect porn and antelope snuff movies. That's a disgrace. And also, you know, it's just so confused. There's too many species in the world. You know, I don't care about krill because if it's too small to see, I'm not in. I think there should be a maximum of 50 species in the world. You know, these are tough economic times. We cannot afford to save them all. We must be able to create some kind of food chain with only 50 creatures in it. It's basically how business works. I think nature should catch up. So, are you environment fans, by the way? Quite a lot of you pretty sceptical about it, thinking, no, it's had its chance. And, time to move on. So I get sent daily pictures of krill, complains Kirill. Krill oil and various predators in the process of eating krill. This, he writes, heartrendingly, is not how I intended to live my life. That's a very moving story. Did you mean to get into town planning, or is that another thing that's gone wrong? Well, life often turns out differently. From what we expect. Hitler, for example, famously wanted to be an artist. Didn't quite work for him, regrettably. But he stuck with it on Amazon. In fact, his last ever thing that he did was an installation piece entitled Worst Honeymoon Ever. too soon. I'd also like to come. This is three complaints in this one. I'd also like to complain, not just about krill, but about lazy comedians who expect the audience to do all the work for them. What, mate? Can someone write me a put down for this? And cats. Is there any real point? I mean, you've really attacked big issues. Oh, and sorry, at the end. And also, you know, Syria and David Cameron. Boo. That's today. Well, that's too late. David, are you Cameron fans or not?
No.
No, none of you. He said some extraordinary things, David Cameron. He said this. He was talking about Britain being an outward-looking nation. Talking about British history. He said, just a few months ago, talking about the European referendum. I'm not sure you're all very excited about. And because I think it's basically to decide whether or not we stay attached to the European continental plate, or get they're going to put four massive rockets in the corners of Britain and just fire us into a slightly superior British orbit so we can look down on the rest of the world as God intended us to, saying, "We are Britain, good day to you!" Cameron was talking about Britain, Britain's history as an outward-looking kind of global nation, and he said, "We have always been a nation that has turned our face to the world." And you could hear the rest of the world stopping and waiting and saying to himself, "Hang on, has he f***ing finished that sentence?" Because surely they were waiting for him to carry on and say, "We've always been a nation that has turned our face to the world and said, I will have that, I will have that, I will have you, I will shoot that because little Timmy needs some new tusks for school. You look a bit restless, I'll probably shoot you in a confined space. You can come to our country and be socially marginalised and racially abused for generations to come. The rest of you, hang out here for a couple of hundred years. One day we'll give you a job in a call centre and you can pretend you're called John." It's the British way. The global nation. So, Krill, have I adequately lampooned... Krill, can I just ask... Are you having a whale of a time? Score?
11.5.
Sorry, 11?
11, yeah.
11, so. Hang on. Bingo. So, now let's move on to the next one. This very important one came in from Miles Perry. It's Miles Perry here. Hello, Miles. Thanks so much for this. Dear Andy, on the show on Tuesday, September 10th, I would very much like you to satirise your own mother-in-law. I'm sure you agree with me that political correctness has, quote, gone mad these days, and I, for one, yearn for jokes from a simpler time. So, well, you know, I've laid myself open to this by inviting you, the public, to have a say. So you want me to satirise my own mother-in-law, Miles?
If you wouldn't mind.
My own mother-in-law, who tragically passed away at the age of 61 and did not survive to see her beloved daughter give her two beautiful grandchildren. Man, you've... That is one can of worms you brought into this bit, my friend. You know, she was... She died just a year after we married her. My mother-in-law, and it was she lived long enough only. She didn't see her grandchildren born, but she did live long enough to see her daughter marrying a balding, lapsed Jewish alleged comedian who was once described in a national newspaper as grindingly mediocre. So, anyway. But you want me to satirise her? I've done my best. Okay. So there's some mother-in-law jokes. My mother-in-law, I'll tell you. My mother-in-law. I'm not saying she's fat. But she was an excellent cook before her sadly premature passing. I'm not saying my mother-in-law doesn't like me, but she hasn't spoken to me for 8 years. This isn't really working for me, Miles. So, next up, Johnny Flowers. Is Johnny Flowers here? Do we have a... Hello, Johnny. Johnny, is that your real name? Great, because the subject of Johnny Flowers' email is wind farms. And, I'll start. My name is Johnny Flowers. I'd like to satirise the almost constant scaremongering that goes on regarding renewable energy in the UK, particularly wind farms. Now, Johnny Flowers, of course, is the kind of name that some reactionary Tory might use. Or a generic environmentalist. Well, I would like to drill for oil through the local primary school, but I expect little Johnny Flowers would have something to say about that. Johnny, you work in renewable energies. You work for a wind
A wind farm. And you're not at all worried about wind being over-farmed and just running out, there'll be no breeze at all, and kites would just hang limply from trees, and be bad news for English cricket as well. The ball probably wouldn't swing as much, and that would remove our main tactical offensive weapon. But anyway, so... Because we do need to do something, I think. We need to do something because... the f*** was that? We didn't need to. We didn't, because British Energy, like an embarrassed bride at the wrong wedding, is running out fast. And we do need to do something about it. So Johnny continues. Not a week goes by without some ill-informed or pseudo-science being reported on the ill effects of wind farm developments, very rarely balanced out by the benefits to our energy security. All right, Lenin. or any nods to the idea that there may be benefits in taking some small steps towards not using all our resources up as quickly as possible. Now, this is the problem with any. Whenever this issue is addressed, you always get people ringing up radio phone and saying, "Whatever next? We'll have to put the Queen on a treadmill or something." And so it's an issue that riles people, particularly it's kind of odd that we haven't done anything. Anything about it, and I guess you don't want to do anything too soon. That's the thing, is it? Because there's still, I know it is almost 100% certain that man is responsible for destroying the environment, but until you're absolutely 100% sure, it's like, I guess, when you're having a heart attack, you don't want to call for the ambulance until you're dead, basically. Just to make absolutely sure that you're not wasting everyone's time. So, Johnny Flowers, little Johnny Flowers, gives various examples of media stories that have kind of exaggerated the dangers that we're facing. This one, and the ones he gave are quite boring, so I've made some up. This report here from the Daily Mail: looking at a wind farm can give you malaria, research proves. But as Johnny pointed out, a lot of these reports, they print a report and then the facts actually come out, and then they kind of don't really print a retraction. And it turned out actually that this just came from someone who once looked at a windmill nearly being bitten by a mosquito. So anyway, also this one from the Daily Telegraph: Hitler owned a toy wind turbine as a child, claims chief executive of Shell. And this is in the Evening Standard just the other day: eating a wind farm can make you fat. They meant eating a full-scale rhinoceros made of butter can make you fat. There was just a bit of a misprint, but there you go. So, but it is a fact, and I'll conclude the wind. What were the other alternatives? What's your view on nuclear power? Are you for or against it? No, I'm talking to Johnny in particular. You're against nuclear power? Why is that?
It's bad for the environment.
It's bad for... I don't really know the science of it. All I know is that I've got a lot of nucleuses in my house. I am sitting on a gold mine. So, will that do, Johnny? good. Thank you very much. Thanks. There was...
That's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't, well, I'll see you in the afterlife and we can resolve it there. We'll be back with Bugle 250 next week. Doesn't get any bigger than this, people. Until next week, do check out our SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/the-bugle, and don't forget to take out your Bugle voluntary subscription at thebuglepodcast.com. Keep your emails coming in to info@thebuglepodcast.com. I have absolutely nothing more to say to you.